This podcast is, of course, made possible through the support of our members and from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community with convenient locations throughout northern New England. World-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Bibliophiles rejoice. It's our 2016 holiday book show today in The Exchange. Whether you're looking for a gift for someone on your list or for yourself, this year offered a rich blend of novels, nonfiction, mystery, history, a Harry Potter spinoff, and even a biography from the boss. This hour, we'll hear our guests' favorites for book giving, getting, or reading by the fire. You can also see their picks on our website, NHPR Exchange. And we'll put the titles of any book mentioned during our show there as well. Again, it's NHPR Exchange. So let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. We have three guests. Donna Dunlop is here. She's director of the Hopkinton Town Library. Donna, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Hi, good to see you again, Laura.
Also with us, Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
And also with us, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And Michael, good to see you as well.
Good morning.
Well, Michael, to you first, your favorite book that you read this year, old, new, doesn't matter.
Well, you know, it's hard because, I mean, there wasn't really a standout book that took the world by storm in the way The Goldfinch did a few years ago. But my favorite novel of the year really was The Nix by Nathan Hill. You know, first novel, just very, very funny, just rich with, you know, cultural references and, you know, comedy and tragedy. I mean, I just thought a brilliant new voice. It's always great to welcome a great new novelist.
Give us just a teeny bit, Michael, on sort of the plot and the time period and so forth.
Well, this college professor, young man, is sort of struggling and, you know, his mother left the family some years ago. And all of a sudden she's in the news because she was caught on film throwing rocks at a right-wing political candidate. And he says, oh, my God, now what? You know,
and it's their lives get mother. Wow.
Estranged mother. Yeah, their lives get intertwined, and you know, the story just takes off from there. And it's just a brilliant. It's a tour de force. Just
wow.
Marvelous novel.
How about you, Dan? The favorite book you read this year?
Well, it's a reread actually. One of my all-time favorite authors, Ivan Doig, died, and I went back and read a memoir that he wrote at the beginning of his career called This House of Sky. It's a gorgeous sort of evocation of not just the Montana landscape, but also of sort of the family that he came from and the circumstances, the hardscrabble circumstances in Montana that he came from. So that'd be my favorite book this year, and it's a reread.
Well, and I know this is a tough question for a librarian. Donna, I'm going to ask you anyway, your favorite book that you read this year?
That you're starting off with a really difficult question. I looked back, and a standout just for pure pleasure was The Relic Master by Christopher Buckley, who's the son of William Buckley. It's a funny, sort of irreverent novel set in 1517. It's about a guy who deals in holy relics, like dealing in art forgery and, you know, the perfect piece of the cross or the Virgin Mary's toenail, whatever. This guy deals in relics, and his best friend is Albrecht Dürer, and it's their misadventures, basically, and having to create – they're charged with creating a new shroud, like the Shroud of Turin, and it just follows their antics. It's beautifully written. It's funny. It's great history and context, and just a pleasure to read. And I had not read it before. I hadn't read him before.
Yeah,
so
Christopher Buckley is he's a very funny writer. He wrote the book Thank You for Smoking, which
right.
is still one of my favorite.
Thank You for Smoking.
Yep. Yeah, one of my favorite satires
yep.
of all
which
time.
Is a great movie, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. What is the best book that you read this year now that you've heard our guests' picks? And we're going to put all their picks, as well as any books that you mention, on our website, NHPR Exchange. Also, I wish you could see the studio here today because all three of our guests brought in tons of books and our table is just absolutely covered with books. It's great. You can check it out on our website, NHPR Exchange, also on Twitter and Instagram, NHPR Exchange. It's the Holiday Book Show today in the Exchange. You can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. So, Dan, what are your customers just really flocking to this year? What are they especially liking?
Well, on the novel side, the runaway bestseller is Colson Whitehead's The Underground Railroad, which I think was on every, or at least Michael's list. It may be on Donna's list as well. And this is a book that was named on the Times 10 Best list, as well as winning the National Book Award. It's our bookseller, Stephanie, describes it as absolutely spectacular. I've never read a contemporary slave narrative that so powerfully captured the slave experience. And basically what Colson Whitehead is doing is he's imagining the Underground Railroad as an actual railroad. So that's the
– with trains and tracks and
that's
everything.
The fictional device. But by doing that – and it wasn't actually that, of course. But by doing that, he's giving it a life that – the runaway experience and the slave experience that has really never been imagined before. It's really a remarkable fictional feat that he's done. And I'm going to throw it to Michael here because I know it's on his list
as well.
Well,
and that's on a lot of lists, sort of the big national lists that publishers put out. Go ahead, Michael.
Like the National Book Award.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it's a marvelous novel. And it really, Colson Whitehead, you know, he's written horror in the past. He's dabbled in different genres. And One thing that he does very successfully here is convey the horror of slavery. Just there's no escape. No matter which variant you go into, there's just no escape. And it's really a horror story. You know, in the same way that Beloved was sort of a ghost horror story, Toni Morrison's book. You know, I found it very, very powerful.
What else are people flocking to in your store, Michael?
Well, let's see. The new novel by Louise Erdrich.
She's a big favorite in
this area.
She's
a big favorite. Yep. Yeah, it's called La Rose. And it opens up with, as so many of Louise Erdrich's novels do, it opens up with just this horrible thing happening, just a terrible event. And in this case, it's a neighbor, killing the son of his neighbors with, in a hunting accident. And then their family, they decide to give their son to the grieving family.
They feel so terrible
about
it.
Tribal tradition. And then the story unfolds from there. And the thing about Louise Erdrich is you just have to stop and just savor her sentences. She's such a great storyteller and so vivid. And, a lot of people have – it was a very popular choice for our book group at the store. And, one of the few that we read in hardcover as opposed to paperback. People just couldn't wait.
Wow.
You know, after we described it. And yeah, so that's been very, very strong this year.
Donna, what are you having a hard time keeping on the shelves at the Hopkinton Library?
Well, I looked at circulation, and My Name is Lucy Barton by Elizabeth Strout was our biggest circulating book. One of the issues is I didn't read it because it was never on the shelves.
You couldn't get your hands on it.
That's right. And books like The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna are still going out, still very popular. A Man Called Ove, which is the movie now. These are all books that are very, very popular. Don't put me on the spot, though, because I'm actually referring to books that I haven't read.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to talk about them.
Right.
But it's been very interesting to go back to look at All the Light We Cannot See is still very hot. It's going out. And that is an absolutely wonderful book, another award-winning book
about
book World War II.
That I know the guys have talked about before on this show and that you did for Hopkinton Reads this year, Donna, is Between the World and Me. Hopkinton Reads, a lot of towns do this where, the library promotes one particular book. So I'm guessing that's a big read in Hopkinton.
Ta-Nehisi Coates' Between the World and Me is an extraordinary book, won the National Book Award. It's a letter from an African-American father to his 14-year-old son about what it is to grow up black in America, how to deal with the struggle. And I actually put this in, you asked for some rubrics about a book to give to a college student returning. And I remember my older brother gave me the autobiography of Malcolm X when I went to college, which was a life-changing read for me. It gave me a glimpse into a world that I really didn't know at all. And I could imagine Between the World and Me doing the same thing for a college student. It is a difficult book, but it's also extraordinarily beautiful, very literate. He talks about the struggle. He talks about his young life in Maryland and really how brutal the streets are. Then he talks about his experience at Howard University, what he calls the Mecca. I can't recommend that too highly. It's a very strong book.
A slim book, but as you said, hard to read because the issues he raises are so difficult, but beautifully written.
Yeah,
he really knows what he's doing with the English language.
Toni Morrison says this is required reading, and I would join her.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, we also read that book as a One Town, One Book. It was our kickoff, One Town, One Book in Exeter. And it is a difficult book, but there's also a joyous quality to it. As he discovers and describes life and community at Howard University, and then seeking that beyond the university, so there's a lot of different strands that go into it. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the struggle, although it is about that. It's also about joy and finding joy in community, which I found very attractive about that book.
I agree.
Well, since this is the holiday book show, Donna came up with a category, the book to bring to the Yankee swap. So, you know, some little book that you don't mind holding on to, you don't mind if somebody else gets it in the Yankee swap. What do you have, Donna?
Well, one I offered, I don't have that one with me, is your gently used copy of 50 Shades of Grey. If you no longer need it, you could bring that to a Yankee swap. We also had a hard time keeping on the shelves Marie Kondo's The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. I confess this is not a book that speaks to me, but very, very popular in the library. And then she came out with a new book called Spark Joy, an illustrated masterclass on the art of organizing and tidying up. So if you want to know how to fold your socks, you can turn to this book and get the help you need. But as a counterpoint to that, you may want to read Sarah Knight's The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a – it starts with an F and it's four letters – How to Stop Spending Time You Don't Have with People You Don't Like Doing Things You Don't Want to Do. It's very funny. It's called A Practical Parody. If you're at all antsy about bad language, don't read this book. Don't buy it for someone. It's a clever idea. It could be a fun book to give to people.
Yeah, it's funny that the idea of the life-changing magic of tidying up, you know, going in a Yankee swap, because if you actually give that book as a gift to somebody, say, here, your life is a mess.
Exactly.
This might help.
Exactly.
You know? But it's Yankee swap. It's great.
Mm-hmm. What other little fun books, Mike, would you buy for a Yankee swap? You don't care if you have to hold on to it, but you don't mind giving it away.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You know, you have a lot of well, first of all, you go to the Dover Classics. You know, those are still excellent, you know, if you want to, you know, because some Yankee swaps have a price limit of $5.
Right.
You know, I mean, depending on your price limit, you can, you know, go with, you know, like thousands of titles in the Dover catalog.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Give us your ideas. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. It's our holiday book show today in the Exchange. We're getting our guests ideas for the best books of the year and the best books for gift giving and receiving. Dan Chartrand is here, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. Donna Dunlop, director of the Hopkinton Town Library. And Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. One more time, the number 1-800-892-6477. What's the best book you've read this year? Tell us. Also, if you need some ideas for that hard-to-buy four-person on your list, we can probably help you out. And remember, our guests' picks and any book mentioned on the show will be put on our website, NHPR Exchange. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. So Dan, Michael mentioned earlier a new fiction author that's captured his attention. I believe the book, Michael, was The Nix by Nathan Hill. Mm-hmm. What new authors are you interested in this year?
There's three novels that were selling well that are all new. The Mothers by Britt Bennett, News of the World by Paulette Giles, and then a follow-up book by Maria Semple. She was the one that wrote Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which was a runaway hit. She has a new book called Today Will Be Different, and it's by Maria Semple. So those three are definitely books that we're recommending to our customers as here's the new book that's just out in the last few months.
Yeah, if you want to try a new author. Actually, the cover of today will be different. Definitely implies that the woman is really, really, really hoping today will be different. She looks a little bit desperate.
Yeah, you got to hope.
Yeah. that was a staff pick for our bookseller, Hillary, at the store. She loved it. She's been hand-selling it a lot.
A couple emails have come in from Bob in Hooksett. He recommends Fatherless, a novel by Brian Gale, came out in 2008 about a priest in the late 70s up to 1995 and his flock. Bob says, best book I read this year. Thank you so much, Bob, for the email. Beth sent in a couple, The Sound of Gravel, the best book I've ever read. So, wow, Beth, that's quite a recommendation. She also recommends Lily and the Octopus, sweet and funny, sad too. Donna, do you want to talk about that one real quick?
I haven't read it, but one of my staff people put it on her list as one of the best books she read this year. So I'll give a shout out. I agree, or my colleague Karen agrees.
Okay, and here's a recommendation from Michael in Concord, and I know a couple men in my life who are going to want to read this book. You know what I'm going to say, Michael Herman, Born to Run by Bruce. Michael says, Bruce, lots of use there. Yeah. Bruce Springsteen, the boss. He wrote a biography.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised by that, actually.
Long time coming. Well, you know, it's he's a good writer.
And
now finally he's written a book. Well, he's a good songwriter.
Sure.
Very vivid, you know, and now he's written a memoir.
Have you read it?
I read part of it. I haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah. Dan?
What I like about this book, I did read it, is, you know, for all of his mega stardom, clearly Bruce Springsteen is someone who's gone and done his emotional work. And he's talked about this in a couple of the interviews I've heard about the book as well. He's spent a fair amount of time working with, you know, counselors, trying to get at what drives him, what happened in his family of origin, you know, with his father and his mother and his family that drives him forward to do what he does. And that's the thing I liked best about this book, is it's a real archaeology of his motivations and his, you know, sort of what happened in his family.
Go ahead, Donna. You want to jump in on that?
So I think it's worth mentioning that the audiobook of the Springsteen book is coming out this week or next week, and Bruce is reading it. So
really?
You get to hear the boss's own voice reading the book. So that could be a great gift for somebody and could be a fun book to listen to in the car with your family.
Well, biography is often a popular category, even though I personally was surprised that Bruce Springsteen wrote a biography. Michael, other biographies that are selling well at your store?
Well, speaking of music, Robbie Robertson, the lyricist and musician in the band called The Band, you know, famous for backing Bob Dylan and also having their own hits like Up on Cripple Creek and The Weight. You know, he's written a memoir, and he's an excellent, excellent writer. You know, if you want to just the inside story of, you know, those early days with Bob Dylan and, you know, like living in a rented house, you know, that's owned by Sammy Davis Jr., writing songs, you know, in the swimming pool. You know, it's a very good rock memoir. I mean, still the gold standard is Life by Keith Richards that came out some years ago. But Robbie Robertson's memoir is very fine. And so is Bruce's, what I've read of it so far.
Donna?
And while we're on the subject of music, how could we not talk about Bob Dylan? And I put on my list a book of his poems called Tarantula. I think for that difficult person on your list, Tarantula could be a great gift. It just is wordplay and the exploration of spontaneously occurring ideas, which really came naturally to him.
Well, and I was surprised when I saw your list, Donna, that Bob Dylan had written a book of poetry. I didn't know that. Especially relevant since, right, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature for Poetry, which was kind of a controversial pick this year.
Yeah, Dan and I disagree about this, I think.
I'm with Dan. I think it was a good and interesting pick. And he's actually written many volumes of poetry.
Yeah, which I did not know. Yeah. I did not know. Go ahead, Dan.
I like that the Nobel Committee went outside the box and chose him. I understand there's a lot of wonderful practitioners in the United States that were kind of waiting in line and Dylan kind of jumped them. But, you know, it's not Well, I don't know. I'm not a zero-sum guy.
There's only one Nobel Prize, though.
That's right.
If anybody wants to make a determination for themselves, there's a very handsome new collected lyrics of Bob Dylan that's just hit the shelves.
Which is selling
very well. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So other poetry, I mean, New Hampshire seems to have an unfair share of poets, Michael, right? I mean,
oh, sure. Yeah. You know, Donald Hall, Maxine Cumin, Charlie Simic. You know, there's... a lot of great poets in New Hampshire. Per capita, I think we have more poets than any state in the country.
Must be something in the water.
It's the granite, I think.
I really have pondered that. I mean, I wonder if you went to a bookstore in some other part of the country, if you would have such an interest in poetry. But New Hampshire really does seem to cultivate them. Other books of poetry that anyone else wants to mention? Michael?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Well, both Michael and I had Ann Carson's she has 22 chapbooks slipcased in a volume, multi-volume called Float. And it's a wonderful gift for someone that loves poetry. Our bookseller, Mark DeCarteret, who's a former poet laureate of Portsmouth, says that these chapbooks gathered under the title Float seem not so much written out, etched in something terribly ancient, but touching down on us, alighting. Once again, though, reticent and secretive as she can sometimes be, clues abound.
Yeah, it's on my list, too. Our bookseller, Paul, was very high on it. He's always been a fan of her work. He says you have to call it poetry because you just can't call it anything else. In other words, it sort of evokes the feeling that poetry evokes, and the idea of putting it in these random chapbooks that you can read in any order, just gives it more of like an ephemeral feel. And the slipcase, of course, gives it that permanent feel. It's like Claudia Rankine's Citizen a couple of years ago. You know, you have to call it poetry because it acts like poetry. You can't call it anything else.
And you have to find some place to put it on your shelf and store. You got to categorize it somewhere.
No, she is a wonderful poet.
Donna? Yeah.
And I had on my list Billy Collins' new collection. I think it's his 12th. He was U.S. Poet Laureate, and this is The Rain in Portugal. And it's a lovely volume. It's funny. He's sort of a poet of everyday life, and that's exemplified here in this book. And it would be a nice short volume to give to somebody maybe breaking into poetry. His poetry is pretty accessible.
Yeah, Billy Collins is probably with Mary Oliver, the most popular poet in any bookstore or library. I was thinking about mentioning Billy Collins, and I said, he doesn't need the help.
All right.
It's like,
Well, by the way, I think one of you, I think it was you, Dan, mentioned Today Will Be Different. Mary Semple, author of Today Will Be Different and Where Did You Go, Bernadette, will be on Fresh Air today at 3 on NHPR.
Wonderful.
So if people are intrigued, so thank you for that note. Anne also sent us one of her favorites, Anne and Lyman, the graphic novel version of Shirley Jackson's The Lottery is beautiful. So... Okay, thank you for that recommendation. Any recommendation that gets mentioned on the air will be put on our website, NHPR Exchange, as well as all of our guests' picks. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Holiday Book Show on the Exchange in just a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, books for giving and receiving this holiday season. It's our holiday book show today in The Exchange. We're looking at the best books of 2016. What's the best book you've read this year? Or do you need some ideas for somebody on your gift-giving list? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. You can also respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. With us in studio is Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Donna Dunlop, director of the Hopkinton Town Library, and Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And all of you, let's go right back to our listeners. And Sheila is calling in from Vermont. Hi, Sheila. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I can't resist adding. I had two that I wanted to recommend, but I also wanted to say, because I live in Vermont, I think we could maybe challenge you on number of poets.
Really? Okay, I didn't know that.
One of my favorites is is Tim Mayo, whose book, I don't have the title in front of me, but he has a new book out too. But the ones I wanted to recommend first was a little book that if you have an activist on your list, you might really impress them by giving them an activist guide. It's a book by a man named Daniel Hunter, who is a young biracial man who does really wonderful activist organizing kinds of work. And it's called Building a Movement to End the New Jim Crow. And it's an offshoot from Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow. And it's an organizing guide and a very short book, but very...
What's the other one, Sheila?
The other one is a new novel by a woman named Selena... But hold on one second. I have to get it up, pull it up, because it's one about Malaysia. And it's the author's name is Selena Siak Tin Yoke. And the title is The Woman Who Breathed Two Worlds.
And say that again, Sheila, because your phone is starting to fade out there.
Is that better?
Yeah. Could you give us the title again, please?
Yeah. It's The Woman Who Breathed Two Worlds.
Okay. Sheila, thank you for the call. Really? And political books, Michael. It's been a big political year.
It's been a very puzzling and strange political year, no matter what your political persuasion. And a lot of the challenge, as a bookseller, is to sort of... parse through all the noise and, books that are written just as red meat for people who believe a particular ideology, and get to the ones that are actually good. And there's a couple of good books, both from the left and the right this year, that are good as gifts. One is a memoir by a conservative man, J.D. Vance. He's a 31-year-old writing a memoir, and there's a lot of that going around. Anna Kendrick is also 31, and she's written a great memoir called Scrappy Little Nobody. But that's a Hollywood memoir. The political memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, came out before the election, and it pretty much explained just the strange and previously ignored character of what's going on in hillbilly country, Appalachia, Kentucky, places, Ohio, places like that. And it's a memoir of his family, and it's a culture in crisis, and that's a very, very important book, written from the slightly more conservative area. From the more left-wing area, Thomas Frank, former editor at Harper's Magazine and The Baffler, wrote a book some months ago called Listen, Liberal, and it's all about how the Democratic Party has betrayed its roots, as a party for the people. And before the election, it just seemed like, kvetching. And after the election, it seemed like, boy, this maybe more people should have read this book.
So two books, one from the right and one from the left, both written before the election, and both actually ending up being prescient or predictive.
Exactly. And another good book written from the conservative side is called Too Dumb to Fail by Matt Lewis, who's a writer at the Daily Caller. And he's calling for a return of intellectualism to the conservative movement, harking back to some of the great thinkers of the past.
Well, after this very long election year, and really for us here at NHPR, it started, well over a year ago at the New Hampshire primary, I don't think I'll be buying any political books. I think I'm done. But Dan, what about for people who haven't had enough?
Well, I just wanted to say that the book Hillbilly Elegy is one of the best-selling books in our store right now. And I think it's sort of coming out of one of the things I love about a time like this is that people are really looking for answers to try to understand what happened, who might have been surprised by what happened. And I think the J.D. Vance book, Hillbilly Elegy, is definitely a book that can begin to allow people to move forward, trying to figure out some answers to what happened. Another book that I have on my list that would be a great book in that category of like trying to understand things is a book by Chuck Collins called Born on Third Base. It's subtitled "A One Percenter Makes the Case for Tackling Inequality, Bringing Wealth Home, and Committing to the Common Good." And it's published by a New England publisher, Chelsea Green. So that's a great book as well if you're struggling to understand and look for answers.
Donna, political books?
I stayed away from political books, I confess, so I'm not going to go with that one.
You've got another book in front of you, though, that you look like you want to talk about, The Peacock and the Vine?
Peacock and Vine is by A.S. Byatt, one of my favorite authors of all time. She wrote Possession and the children's book, has won the Booker Prize. She's a wonderful writer, and this is a bit of a departure for her. In this really lovely book. I would say that this would be a great gift for someone who was into design or fashion. She writes about William Morris, designer, mid-19th century designer from Great Britain, and Mariano Fortuny, a Spanish aristocrat who's a clothing designer. And it's full of beautiful illustrations. It's wonderful to read, but it would be lovely just to own. I don't buy books for myself often, and I bought this book for myself, with apologies to Michael and Dan. I wanted to own it, and so I strongly recommend it.
And Buy It is BYATT. It's a small book, so again,
but
sort of
beautiful.
A stocking stuffer thing.
Yep. Peacock and Vine.
Michael?
Speaking of small books by English writers, I want to give a shout out to Ian McEwan's Nutshell, which actually, and Donna's raising her hand enthusiastically over there, it might be the best written novel I've read this year. I mean, if there's an heir to Nabokov in today's environment, I think it might be Ian McEwan. Just combining just the literary and the sinister, and just such so intellectual. It's a great story. Believe it or not, the story is told from the point of view of a developing fetus who's inside the womb of a woman named Trudy, who's plotting to murder her husband with the connivance of her husband's brother. And if that storyline sounds familiar, it's from Hamlet. And you know, it's just, I can't say enough great that, you know, it sounds like an impossible, you know, preposterous premise, but it's he carries it off. He makes you believe it. And the voice is just so wise and wisecracky that it's irresistible.
It's a wonderful book, a great read. It's short, but it is beautifully executed. It's a really remarkable book.
Anybody writes as well as McEwan these days.
I wondered if I could recommend it to a woman who is pregnant. I'm not sure whether you want
Probably not a good idea.
Well, ask her if she's plotting to murder her husband
exactly.
And then take the conversation from there, probably.
Let's take another call. Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And remember, any book recommended or talked about this hour will be put on our website, NHPR Exchange. You can check out our guests' picks there. You can also see a picture or two of what is happening in the studio. Three people who love books, and my rather large table here in the studio is absolutely covered with books. It's great. Let's go to another caller, all of you, and Dan's in Rochester. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the Exchange. Welcome.
Hi, great. Thanks. And first, just wanted to thank you for the amazing program. Really big fan.
Good.
And the book I wanted to put, it's not a new book, but it's Before the Storm by Ron Perlstein. And it's coverage of the Barry Goldwater run for president in 1964.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's one of a series of three books. It goes Goldwater to Nixon to Reagan. But I read the Goldwater book after this year's election, and I think it just provides incredible insight into a lot of the movement that we saw kind of revealed in this year's election, and provides a lot of insight into kind of the formative years for a lot of the movement within the conservative side. And so, again, I thought very well written, very well researched, and very provocative in terms of how it dives into Barry Goldwater's unsuccessful run for the presidency, which has been compared a lot to this year's election.
Okay, Dan, thank you so much. Michael?
Yeah, that Perlstein's trilogy, really, it's a very, very important chronicle of the history of the conservative movement. And I think now it really feels like history, I think, since the party of Reagan has seemed to morph into the party of Trump. I mean, it's just a couple of years ago, those books seemed more like current events, and now they read like history, I think.
Interesting. Well, we've got another recommendation from Mark, who sent an email. He likes The Sellout by Paul Beattie. So that's another one. Thank you, Mark, for putting that on our list. You know, Dan,
That book won the Man Booker Prize.
Right? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you again, Mark, for the email. Dan, Michael mentioned a couple minutes ago Ian McEwan, a favorite author who comes up a lot on this program. Who are some of the other sort of just stalwart favorites who've got new books this year?
Well, Ann Patchett has a new book, and she's a perennial seller for independent booksellers.
Being one herself.
And
yes,
she is a bookseller
right.
herself.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She owns a bookstore in Nashville, a very well-regarded bookstore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's actually a bit of a movement for authors who have identified with the independent bookselling movement to then open their own independent bookstore. Jeff Kinney, the Wimpy Kid author, has done that in Massachusetts. And there are other examples of this.
Louise Erdrich, Birchbark
Louise,
Books.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Wait, Jeff Kinney has a bookstore?
He has a bookstore.
Okay,
yeah.
I have a middle school boy, so obviously I've read every single one of those
books. You need to make a pilgrimage. I haven't been,
like...
but apparently it's very beautiful. Have you been, Dan?
I have not seen it, but he did a gorgeous job with it by all reports.
Yeah.
And it's a real mecca for book lovers, especially his books.
Yeah.
So Ian McEwan, Ann Patchett, Stephen King has something new, Dan, right, this time around?
That came out in the middle of the year,
okay.
I think. Yeah. And then his son, Joe Hill, obviously had a very – The Fireman came out earlier in the year and is about to release in paperback. And that was a very important book for us. Given Joe's local author status in Exeter. So,
who are some of the other authors, Donna, that people just come into the library and say, you know, I want something by so-and-so, just authors that people seem to love?
Well, Elena Ferrante who wrote all of the books taking place in Italy. Why am I blanking on these? Are extremely popular. Anything she writes is... extremely popular. Yeah. And you guys are drawing blanks, too.
The amnesia is
spreading. That's right. It's true.
Four novels. Oh, my God. It's the cover of it's right in front of me.
I can see it, too.
Bride and groom with the little children.
Yep. Ugh. Yep. Terrible. Ian Pears is a popular author. This was one of my favorite books of this year. My goodness.
Give us the name again, Donna. I haven't heard that name before.
Ian Pears. It's Pear like the fruit, P-E-A-R-S, first name I-A. He wrote, his new book is Arcadia. He also wrote An Instance of the Finger Post. I would say this would be a particular, you need to like pretty massive tomes to like Ian Pears, but he is a wonderful writer. And this one channels Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, takes place in three interlocking worlds, in the past, in the future. It's dystopian, it's funny, it's beautifully written. So if you know people who are looking for a great fantasy novel read, Ian Pears is a popular writer.
Dan?
One of the books that we are – there go the book piles. One of the books that Alice in our store is recommending, speaking of fantasy, is the Broken Earth series. It's by N.K. Jemisin, J-E-M-I-S-I-N. The first volume is the fifth season, and – The Obelisk Gate just released. So great fantasy novels.
All right. And again, if you missed any of those titles or didn't quite catch the author's names, no worry. We will put all this on our website after the show, NHPR Exchange. You can check it out there. So, Michael, other familiar authors, you know, Stephen King, Ian McEwan, Ann Patchett. Gosh, on all of you guys' lists, there were other authors where I thought, wow, how do these people keep cranking it out?
They do. Well, a name that should be familiar to New Hampshire listeners is Howard Mansfield.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he and his wife, Cy Montgomery, also a great author, live in Hancock, New Hampshire. And Howard has just published a kind of small coffee table book called Sheds, and it's all about the art of the shed, which is a very great New England theme. And, you know, all kinds of sheds. I mean, sheds aren't just like your garden shed. A shed would include like a covered bridge or a barn or a meeting house. Anything that started out more as like a utilitarian building for storage or for commerce and then turned into something else. And it's how he's great about evoking just a sense of place and what it means to be in that place. And anybody who loves New England culture, I think, you know, would love this book, and the photographs are gorgeous.
Yeah, Howard is a great writer on not just New England culture, but also sort of the New England idiom, the architecture of it, the feel of the place of New England. He's one of my favorite New England authors, and this is a great project for him that is a little bit outside the box of what he normally does. He's working with a photographer who's creating these gorgeous photographs of all these utilitarian buildings, these sheds, and then there's text taken from a book that he just wrote about shelter. So it's a great gift book.
Yeah.
Donna?
We have great history buffs, as I'm sure you guys do. And One of the favorite authors of history books is Candace Millard. She also wrote Destiny of the Republic about James Garfield and River of Doubt about Teddy Roosevelt's adventures in South America. And her new book is Hero of the Empire, The Boer War, A Daring Escape, and the Making of Winston Churchill. This has been very popular, even though it's pretty new. And this is in the category we talk about nonfiction that reads like fiction. Her books are very accessible, beautifully written, impeccably researched, and Winston Churchill is a great character.
Well, and also, I mean, Boer War, not a lot of people know about that, right. So mm-hmm. I don't know that much about it myself. Yep. And James Garfield, I mean, my goodness, who ever thinks of James Garfield? You know, biographies or history books about Teddy Roosevelt, fine, those are a dime a dozen. But that's interesting. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Well, Candace Millard has kind of carved out a niche as one of these authors who finds maybe an aspect of history that is not that focused on.
Right.
And then she draws out all the sort of connections that flow from that. So the assassination of Garfield, for instance, in that previous book, and now sort of how Winston Churchill cut his teeth in the Boer War and became mm-hmm. the person he was in the furnace of that very partisan conflict.
I want to let everybody know, too, tomorrow in the Exchange, we're going to be looking once again at Franklin Pierce. Again, you know, president often maligned as, you know, one of the worst ever. But I've been digging into best from New York.
Exactly. Great point by you.
There's a lot of really interesting stuff there. My family's been saying, what's there to say about Franklin Pierce, you know? But there's a lot there. So I hope everybody can join us tomorrow from that. A couple more recommendations from our listeners. Aaron recommends Stoned, Jewelry Obsession and How Desire Shapes the World. This is by Aja Radin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Again, the title of the book is Stoned, Jewelry Obsession and How Desire Shapes the World. Aaron says it's excellent writing with great asides and succinct views of historical events. Aaron, thank you for that recommendation. By the way, we were all having a brain cramp about Elena Ferrante, and my wonderful producers brought in the title, My Brilliant Friend.
My Brilliant Friend.
My Brilliant Friend. It's hard to remember it all. So many books, so little time. Other history books, Michael, that you're selling well this time around.
I don't think I had a lot of history on my list.
Dan,
An author, speaking of authors that crank them out, there's an author named H.W. Brands who I've grown fond of, and he has a new book called The General Versus the President, MacArthur and Truman at the Brink of Nuclear War. Kind of plays out what happened between MacArthur and Truman in the run-up to the Korean War, during the Korean War, and how the whole tug between the defense complex and the president just really that whole thing that Eisenhower talked about, it really started right there.
The military-industrial complex.
Yeah, and MacArthur was such an incredibly larger-than-life person, and Truman was sort of unassuming but at the same time indomitable. It's a great book. I can't recommend it highly enough.
All right, more in a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show, highlighting the best books of 2016 and the best books for gift giving and receiving. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Join us with your questions and your suggestions. Any book mentioned during the hour will be put on our website, NHPR Exchange, as well as the many, many, many picks from our guests. Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Donna Dunlop, director of the Hopkinton Town Library. And all of you, let's go right back to our listeners. Tons of recommendations coming in from our audience today, so that's great. James is in Exeter. Hi, James. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Actually, a couple books, and I, humorously enough, picked them up at the Water Street Bookstore. There's
Thank
an event
you.
There, and they recommended it. I love the store. It's great. Sweet Land by Michael Crumet was a really good one. It was about a fishing village in Canada that's basically getting bought by the government. It's like the memories of the sort of last surviving member of the fishing village. It was really good. Kind of a fantastic realism. And then the other one was kind of a horror sci-fi was The Library at Mount Char by Scott Hawkins. But both of them were just fantastic books. Very different.
All right. James, thank you for calling in, and we'll put those on the list. And Dan, nice shout out for you there.
Yeah, James, thank you. Those were both staff picks, and I think we've talked about them on this show before, but it's nice to be reminded of great books that have come out in the last few years.
Yeah. Donna, you've got a book in front of you, a New Hampshire book, which I actually have at home, just got it. It is about Mount Washington, comes from the Currier Gallery.
That's right, the Currier Museum now. It is Mount Washington, the Crown of New England. It's the catalog that accompanies the quite spectacular show at the Currier right now through early January. And this is a book that could be a great gift for somebody who's difficult to give gifts to. It is sumptuously illustrated, maps and photos and paintings. But this also, this book embraces the science of Mount Washington, how people really flocked to Mount Washington in the 19th century to study the flora and fauna and geology, and also just cover the history, why Mount Washington was so iconic. So I think it'd be a great gift for someone. It's a lovely item, and you should also go see the show.
Yeah, I saw the show just recently. Yeah. My dad took me, so it was wonderful. And other New Hampshire-based books, Michael?
Well, I have to give a mention to Rebecca Rule's new book called "In Is for New Hampshire," because you know, it seems it would be a shame not to. And it's a book both for kids and for adults. I mean, G is for graveyards. You know, there's plenty of graveyards to visit. I is for ice. you know, and you know, it's an alphabetical guide to New Hampshire. Yeah, it's like one of those, except it's written kind of for adults as well. Yeah. K is for Kankamangas Highway.
Some beautiful pictures there,
aren't
too.
They? Yeah, M is for maple
really
syrup.
Really lovely.
And I want to point out to the caller from Vermont earlier that New Hampshire has better maple syrup.
Although Vermont produces more.
Well, we can have this dispute on a different themed show, possibly.
What I like about Rebecca's book is that it's this is a format that's been popular. Sleeping Bear Press did it. But hers is more text-heavy, and I like that. Rebecca's a great writer. She's obviously very well-versed in New Hampshire, and this is a great gift book if for someone that lives in New Hampshire. Yeah. I have three, and one of them I've talked about before, but I want to remind everyone, the best book I've read this year is The Penny Poet of Portsmouth by Catherine Towler, which is an amazing memoir about a man who lived in Portsmouth, but also it's a memoir of Portsmouth and in the 80s and 90s. And it's just a gorgeous book.
I really enjoyed that book, too.
Yeah. Speaking of Portsmouth, we have Black Trumpet, a cookbook by Chef Evan Mallett with amazing photographs by Anna Grazier. And it kind of details Chef Mallett's journey through eight New England seasons as he's owned the iconic Black Trumpet restaurant in Portsmouth. And finally, my favorite book this year, and it is the most gorgeously made book.
Another favorite?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of favorites.
Moments of Seeing, Reflections from an Ordinary Life by Katrina Kennison. This is a collection of memoir writing by Katrina, and she and her husband, Steve Lures, have made the most gorgeous paperback book. They chose the paper special. They did the design, the binding. It's just it's a gorgeous book to hold in your hand and then to read. So I can't recommend that highly enough, both for the writing and the physical object of the book.
Let's take another call. And Ken is calling in from Antrim. Ken, go ahead.
Hi. This is an old book, but I just reread it, and I think it's perfect for the time of what's happening in the world. It's by John Kennedy Toole. It's The Confederacy of Dunces.
It's a chestnut.
Yeah. I have heard of that book. I have not read it. Donna, what's it about?
It's an old chestnut. It's got this larger-than-life comic character I can't remember, but that is a classic book, and thank you for reminding me of it. It's great.
Yeah, it was discovered by Walker Percy. Right. John Kennedy Toole was just sort of a struggling writer. He sent his and he died very young, and he never wrote again, but it's a very comic novel. What's his name?
It's very long, as I recall, too. Confederacy of Dunces.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Great remembrance.
Ken, thank you for calling in. You know, Donna, Michael just mentioned N is for New Hampshire, sort of for kids, but also for adults. What else do you have for kids to recommend?
Well, one of the things I think we talked about when talking about the show is books for reluctant readers. And we have an incredibly popular series for sort of grades 3 through 8, the Who Was books. So these are biographies. They are illustrated with sort of comic book format. And it's everybody from who is Dr. Seuss, who is Jackie Robinson, who is Abigail Adams. Kids find these very accessible. They're fun. They're well done. They're all by different authors. And we actually, this is recommended by parents. Yeah. And then we got the series and we can't keep them on the shelves.
Yeah.
So it's a great series.
And they're small.
Yep.
You know, they're sort of lightweight paperbacks. They're written for kids, but not dumbed down. I know my younger son read a couple of those, you know, 100 times. I mean, we got them out of the library and he just
And basically they
really
cover, you know, all the presidents, King Tut, you know, you name it, and they've got it covered. It's a nice series.
Other books for kids, guys, that you're selling well this year?
I do have some recommendations from our staff for gifts. There's I'm just going to go quickly through. There's The Evil Wizard Smallbone by Delia Sherman. There is the book The Inquisitor's Tale by Adam Gidwitz.
That looks like for older kids. That's a
This is a middle grade. It's
sure.
a middle grade book, 8 to 12. Same with Evil Wizard Smallbone. The March Trilogy by John Lewis and the is a graphic novel that just won the National Book Award for Young Adults, and it basically is a three-volume telling of the story of the Selma March.
Oh, wow.
And
that's, okay.
That's very
on
hot.
Pettus
very
Bridge.
Hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are some great – there's more, but I'll stop.
Yeah,
Michael?
For YA, for young adult, if for fans of Rainbow Rowell, our bookseller Heather recommends Holding Up the Universe by Jennifer Niven. It's witty banter and a plucky heroine who refuses to be bullied about her size. And there's also a boy with a medical condition that winds up thinking the world of her. And it's not like John Green in that it's more lighthearted and no one dies.
That's always handy.
Yeah, more like Rainbow Rowell.
Donna?
And our children's librarian recommends the books by, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Raina Telgemeier.
Yes.
Graphic novels. The most recent is Ghosts. They're so popular we can't keep them on the shelves.
Yeah.
And this one, the protagonist has cystic fibrosis, and she's moves to a new town inhabited by ghosts, and the rest goes on.
Well, Raina Telgemeier, a San Francisco-based or San Francisco area graphic novel. She's been doing this for a long time, and her first few books were sort of themed on, not to sound sexist, but they were more like books for girls. They were about sisters mm-hmm. and the challenges of being a teen girl and so forth. And I have to tell you, my younger son must have read those books 200 times.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
they're universal themes, and she does a great job. Go ahead, Dan.
I think probably the reason your son liked it is there's a whole subgenre in the middle grade category of books about classrooms and schools
mm-hmm. yeah.
and how they work and how children and teachers interact. And that's probably why he was fascinated with this. The books were Smile, Drama, and Sisters. Mm-hmm. She also redid the old Babysitter's Club in a graphic
yeah.
format. She is the most popular graphic novelist, comic book writer for middle grade readers.
Right. So if you've got a boy, yeah. don't think Raina Telgemeier is off limits because she right. really does appeal to both. So, guys, we've covered a lot, but we have not covered Michael cookbooks. Now, in an era where a lot of people get their recipes online, do these still sell?
Cookbooks are more popular than ever.
Really?
Well, you know, you can get a recipe online, but you can't get a lifestyle online. You can't get this aspirational material with the gorgeous pictures and the beautiful text and the witty
aspirational.
Comments.
Aspirational. That is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Cookbooks are really very popular. Right now, there are two cookbooks by people who are known as celebrity chefs that you might shy away from saying, oh, it's by celebrity chefs, But Appetites by Anthony Bourdain. He married late in life. He was over 50, and he has an 8-year-old daughter. And so, perforce, he's forced to go into the kitchen and whip up things in a hurry that aren't so flashy or show-offy. And he's put those into a cookbook called Appetites, which is very accessible and very witty. He's a very funny guy. You know, he wrote Kitchen Confidential, which still, you know, I reread all the time and find
it's
so hilarious.
It's a great read. Very funny.
And Mario Batali, who's also known as a celebrity chef, has written a big American cookbook where he's gotten recipes for dishes from all over the country, you know, regional favorites from New England or the Midwest or the South, you know, and just, you know, marvelous recipes that are also, again, very accessible. And he's got his own notes at the end, like if you want to, you know, add a little fire to something, here's what you might do. But he really is giving the basics, and it's a very valuable tool in the kitchen, very good cookbook.
Donna, pie is always big.
Yep. Our most popular cookbook this year is called Dinner Pies, From Shepherd's Pies and Pot Pies to Turnovers, Quiches, Hand Pies, and More, 100 Delectable and Foolproof Recipes. It's a beautiful, nicely illustrated, easy-to-follow cookbook. But as I said, it went out more than any other cookbook this year.
Ken Heydrick?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cookbook, Stan?
I had the Black Trumpet by Evan Mallett. That was the one that I put on our list for this show. There's some great other local ones, but I'll stop there.
I cannot believe the response we've gotten from our listeners, and I'd like to go out sharing a couple of their recommendations. But first, to all of you, just one book that you want to make sure gets mentioned that we haven't mentioned yet. And Michael?
Well, here's a weird one. For fans of The Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola has published the facsimile of the edition of The Godfather by Mario Puzo that he used during the filming of The Godfather. It's full of his notes.
I did hear about that, yes.
And it's actually gone out of stock in paperback, and the publisher is rushing a hardcover back into print in time for Christmas. It's got an amazing response.
Okay, Dan.
Michael Holley's Belichick and Brady is the only book you should buy for Uncle Joe, who only reads sports books.
Donna.
And here's a book that an author I was not familiar with that one of my staff members brought to my attention. It's Elsa Hart. It's a mystery, and it's a series set in China in the 18th century about an exiled librarian named Li Du. The Christian Science Monitor calls it entertaining and amusing, picturesque, does more than entertain. It also is a story of history and politics. I bought this book, but I couldn't have told you anything about it, and she said it's great, and it's got a librarian in it.
All right. What could be better? Perfect. What could be better? Well, I have a whole bunch of recommendations from our listeners that I did not get a chance to read, but that's cool because it's all on our website, NHPR Exchange. You can find everybody's picks there and put your own picks as well. All of you, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.